We're going to look at God's holy word, but let us pray before we dive in. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise you that we have the freedom and privilege to open your word, to hear it directly from you, and to understand your truth. Father, we tremble at the privilege, but we rejoice at the opportunity. And so, Father, we pray that you would open your words in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved, do you ever make New Year's resolutions? A promise towards yourself that you will improve something from the 1st of January forward and try to keep and make a life change into your own life. I like to make resolutions myself. I think it's an excellent opportunity to rethink our life and to start something new or to start a new habit. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. The only thing that can be wrong with it is that if you, on January 3rd or 4th, stop your resolution and are back where you are. But I was thinking about this question: what is a pleasing resolution in God's eyes? How can I live a life that pleases God in 2023? What does God desire for us in the coming year? Most resolutions are very temporary. They're about going to eat better or to do more sports or something of that nature. But what resolution would God want us to make? Now, there are many examples in Scripture to follow. There are many godly men and godly women that we could take as our example and say, I want to live more like Abraham, or I want to live more like Moses, or I would like to live more like David or Daniel or Esther or Ruth. And we could learn from all these tonight. But as I sought the Lord for this evening's passage, I was brought to a life that is summarized in one verse. A life that is really, in the Old Testament, one verse that explains who he was. He is known as the man who walked with God. Genesis chapter 5, verse 24 says this: Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. God described the life of this man with these glorious words: Enoch walked with God. Everyone was walking their own ways, but Enoch walked with God. I want to read to you a few words of an interpretation of the life of Enoch by Alexander White. He says this: commonplace men see now and then an edge of God, and catch now and then a broken ray, a scintilla, and a mystic would say of God, glory. But Enoch walked with God up and down the land of Eden, as a man walks with his friend. God was in Enoch's heart. He looked within and saw God mirrored there. When I thought of all these men in the Bible, my thoughts were drawn to this man. If there is a man I want to be, and I hope that you would be a woman who desires to be a man or a woman who walked with God. And he didn't die. It's the only one in the list that didn't die. But God took him. If you will, he walked straight into heaven. One day he was walking on earth with God, and the next moment he was walking with God in heaven. That's amazing, isn't it? How are you going to be a man like Enoch? If I'm talking about resolutions, how did Enoch walk with God? What made Enoch walk with God? Do you know the answer? Do you know that the answer is in Scripture? Scripture tells us how Enoch walked with God. And so tonight I want to show you Scripture's explanation of Enoch's life in the New Testament. Hebrews 11 verse 5 is the background, or is the introduction to Enoch. It says this: by faith Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. And he was not found because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended at having pleased God. If you have your Bibles, keep looking at the verse. Do you see the beginning and the end of the verse? The end of the verse says he was commended by God, and the beginning of the verse says why? Because he walked by faith. He was commended by God. The Bible tells us that Enoch was pleasing to God because he walked by faith. Now, the Bible is never a passive book. It's never merely a collection of interesting ideas. No, the Bible is a book that is God speaking to us. These words on the page that you see is God speaking to you. By faith, he wants you to walk as Enoch walked. Enoch walked with God. Are God's words to you tonight? Because God wants you to walk with God, so one day you will not be here anymore, but you will be with him in heaven. And so Enoch is more than an interesting figure. He is the one who treads footsteps in the dirt in front of us, which we must follow. And tonight I want to retrace these footsteps. Now, I still haven't given you really the explanation of this faith of Enoch, have I? I've told you that he is mentioned in Hebrews 11, verse 5, but what did that faith of Enoch look like? Well, it's in the next verse, in verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God, that's the same as walking with God, must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. You see that? The book of Hebrews, if you know chapter 11, it's about all the heroes of the faith. And every time what the author did, he gives the name and that he was pleasing to God and then an explanation. And we see that here with Enoch, you have in verse 5 the introduction of Enoch, verse 6 the explanation. Enoch was a man who was walking with God. He drew near to God because he believed these two things. He believed that God existed, and he believed that God is a rewarder of those who seek him. Well, that is what I want to look with you tonight. These two foundational principles of the faith. Enoch believed that God exists, and Enoch believed that God rewards those who seek him. So if you want to make a New Year's resolution and you haven't come to it, make this one. That you believe that God exists, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Now, when I say believe, I don't mean that you put this in the idea of factual truth somewhere in the back of the drawer of your memory as something that is true in a sense. But by faith, we mean it is true for me and it changes the way I live. So as we're going to look at these two things, I want you to see, and by God's word, apply this to your heart, that this transforms your mind. That as God's word is opening to your heart and to your mind, that you're not a passive hearer and say, what can I take from this message? But that you take the entire message, these two statements, plant them in your mind and in your heart, and out of God's word, begin to live a better life in God. Now, let me just make a final introduction before we dive in, just so that we're all on board. Our text tells us and even promises us that we can walk with God and truly please him in 2023 when our faith is marked by these two principles. Let's begin. I will summarize the first point in this way. I believe that he is. I believe that he is. What could be more straightforward than this? If you want to please God and walk with him, you must believe that he exists. You must be a believer in God. If you don't believe in God, you will not seek him, and if you don't seek him, you will never find him or walk with him. And so it's true, if you want to walk with him, you must believe that he is. And in Enoch's time, there were many people who didn't believe that God existed, or at least not the God of creation. All of this is very straightforward, but I think that the author of Hebrews is saying more than that he exists. You see, our translation is trying to help us understand what the author is saying. And I think it's true. You could translate this with he exists. But in the Greek, it simply says he is. You must believe that he is. Which in English is kind of the same as he exists, isn't it? But if you know your Bibles well, doesn't this bring in something else than merely he exists? Because the idea of God as the one who is very important in the Bible. Let me read to you a passage in Exodus 3, 13 to 14. Moses said to God, "If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'Who is his name?' What shall I say to him, to them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Say this to the people of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" God identifies himself as the I am. If we were to describe him, we would say he's the one who is. You see, God identifies himself that everything else and everyone else has come into being in a certain place at a certain time, but God is the I am. Or if we would say he is the he is. The one who has always been, the one who is everywhere present, the one where no one has ever been without, that is alive and that exists. He is the God who holds all things together, who is constantly present with you, with me, even with the worst atheist, is never outside of the sight of God. And so I believe that when a New Testament author says we must believe that he is, it's not just saying that there is a God, but that we must believe the God of Scripture as he is, as he explained himself. I must believe that God is who he actually is, that God is here and is everywhere present. I must believe that God is who he says he is. And this sent me on a tailspin this week. As I was thinking on this and pondering on this, and I must believe that he is. What does that mean? And after a while, as I was breaking my brain over this, I began to realize it's much easier to say, what is it not? Because God is means he is everywhere. He is infinite. He has done all things and everything. It means that he is the God of history, but it also means that he is my creator, that he is infinitely powerful, infinitely present, infinitely knowledgeable. He is. And then I thought, what does it mean? How would it change my life if I were truly beginning to believe God who he truly is? Not that I deny everything, anything from God's word, but if I were to actively, truly understand who God is, that's the key to walking with him, isn't it? Because then, let me give you just three examples. Then you will believe in God as the one who loves you, and you will love him. You will believe that God truly loves you constantly, day in, day out, that you will see that everything that you have, everything you've ever had, and all eternity ahead of you is a gift from a God who loves you. Then I'm drawn, you see. Then I want to walk with this God. Then I want to pray. Then I want to know and study and see and talk and hear from this God. Secondly, you will believe God as the God who is omnipresent. You know, I've loved this because I've talked about it many times, but it means that God is nearer to me than my hand is to my heart at this point. It means God is everywhere present. So, If I walk through the forest by myself and I say, Father, he hears me. If I'm in a conversation with my wife, he hears me. If I'm tired at a long day's work, at the end of the day, he hears me. He is with me. There's no more a place that is unholy or a place that is common outside of God. There's no longer a most holy place and then the rest of the world. Everything becomes a holy place because God is everywhere present. I am walking in the most holy place 24/7 wherever I am. You see, you begin to walk with God. The danger is that we stop our thoughts at a certain time, isn't it? I think about God from 7 to 8 in the morning, and then I go on with the rest of my day, and at 8 o'clock at night till 8 till 9, then I think about God again. No, no, no. We must believe that he is omnipresent. Let me give you one more. You will believe in God as the one who is all-powerful. The God who is all-powerful. Did you know that if you would truly believe that fully, you would live like the Lord Jesus? You would never have a doubt in your prayer ever again. You would always pray by faith. You'd never be afraid of anything. Because you know that God is all-powerful and he's in control. All the anxiety of your heart would be forever gone. You'd walk around with no burden on your back as how can I get out of this? Because you're constantly walking with God. Now, beloved, Enoch walked with God. Not because God was closer to Enoch, but because Enoch believed that he is the God who he says he is. And God loved Enoch because Enoch lived with open eyes. Are you a man or a woman who lives with open eyes? Or are they mostly shut? And perhaps on Sunday morning or afternoon or an hour in the morning, they open up and then you shut your eyes again and you see the world without God in reality. You think that all the world is the forces of the world and the government and your work and your friends and your family and that's your world. And then you go into a little bit of open eyes with God's word and then you go back into the world and your eyes are closed towards the truth of God. You know what I mean? When you're in a sermon and it touches your heart, suddenly your heart lightens up. Your eyes open up and you begin to see God in this world and in your life and your heart is at peace and you feel strength and joy. And then when you walk out of the church, your eyes shut again and the rest of the week you're troubling through as a lone ranger through a dark alley all alone. And then at the end of the day, you come into God's house and you feel joy and this and then you go back into that lonely valley. Enoch walked with God, with his eyes open, constantly seeing God for who he is. The only reason why your heart is so relieved and you're so at peace and you're so rejoicing in God when you hear his word, the only reason why that is not consistently is not because of God, but it's because our eyes have a tendency to shut. And we live with God as someone who is there, out there somewhere. And the reason why it's not like that when we hear his word is because we realize he is actually here. God wants you to live with open eyes, beloved. He wants you to see him constantly throughout your day. Morning, afternoon, evening. Enoch was a man who walked with open eyes. God was as close to him as he is to us, because God is omnipresent. The reason why the book of Hebrews tells us this is not to say, well, man, if you were to Enoch, it would have been really nice for you. No, it's to say, come over and live like Enoch. You must believe that he is constantly. My dear friends, it's so simple, isn't it? All you have to do is believe. believe that He is. Now, one of the reasons, and I'm going off script, so one of the reasons why I think so often we close our eyes is for this reason. The Bible itself says faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the Word of God. So our faith increases when we hear God's Word, when we fill our mind and our heart with God's holy Word. It's like light in our soul. Our eyes begin to open up, we begin to see. But then what we do, we go around and then we give other hearings. Hearing that turns us away from faith. Whether it be our own mind, whether it be something we hear or watch or do, we begin to listen to another voice that shuts our eyes and closes it. And then we can no longer see by faith, but we see by the flesh. And so then we get this like a heartbeat. I see something, I don't see something. I see something, I don't see something. We must be men and women and children like Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, God's word, God's instruction. And then it says what? And on it he meditates day and night. Not one time in the day and one time in the night. It's not talking about a morning devotion and an evening devotion. Day and night, a continuous cycle of life. He is always thinking about God and meditating on His Word. He is taking a treasury of God's Word, and he's constantly pondering upon God's Word. And his eyes become clearer and clearer and clearer, and he walks with open eyes. And he walks with God. My dear brothers and sisters, I wish I would have known this brother Enoch. A man so full of faith that he simply walked into heaven. I would have loved to see that. That's how you say it here, like a fly on the wall or something like that. As an unseen, unknown witness. To see him walk. And then I wish I'd be, I don't know if you've ever seen these cameras that go underwater where you see half underwater and half above water. I would have liked to have that camera, that I would see Enoch's expression as he walked from this life and he walked into the presence of God, and I could see that the change. And I think, how long would it have taken Enoch to realize he was in heaven? Because he already was a man with open eyes. They didn't find a body because he walked straight into heaven. All of this is beautiful. And then I come to this realization. Do you know how early Enoch is in the Bible? He does not appear in Revelation. He appears in Genesis. Did you know how much of the Bible was written by Genesis? By his chapter? He didn't have a Bible. He didn't have a book to meditate on. And yet, by that little knowledge that he must have heard from Adam and so down of who God is and what Adam had seen of God and what he passed it on to his son Seth and so forth, when it came to Enoch, by that little knowledge, he entered into this full-orbed relationship with God that made him walk into heaven. How much more is the road of walking to God, with God, open to us? We have an encyclopedia of knowledge, of sight, of lights. If it be in Enoch's time, one little flashlight by which he had to walk into the dark and see things, we would have the lights of a snow plowing truck. Full lights, full sight into the darkness to walk in this world with God. I send a message to our Thursday night study group. And I won't give you the whole statement of it, but basically it's this. I want to live a life where when I read God's word, I believe it. Everything, totally, all the time. Now don't get me wrong, I never read the Bible and say, I don't believe that. But you know what I mean. You read it, and you think, wow, and the next day it's forgotten. I want to read it. And I want it to go in here, and in here, and in here, and in here, and in here. Everywhere, that it becomes part of me, that I begin to live by the sight that God's word gives me. That when I read a word, it becomes a constant refrain until it's so part of my DNA, so to speak, that I live by eyes that can see as God sees. That I live as I wake up in the morning and everybody sees their bed, their car, and their desk chair. But I see God watching over me, the Son on His right hand, the Spirit moving within me, then the Father, the Son, and the Spirit in me, accompanying me, seeing the battles that are going on in spiritual life, seeing the darkness rolling into this world, and the kingdom of God plowing in and bringing light and saving people into the world. I want to see. Don't you want to see? I'm so tired of this on and off and on and off and on and off. I want to see. I want to walk. I want to know. I want eternity to be more real than this temporal life. Let all the stuff be taken away from me if that's what it costs to see Christ more. To see God more, to finally understand that demons are truly real and angels are truly real and the Spirit of God is truly building a kingdom in this world. That God truly watches down with His eyes that all and see everything. That this entire world is upheld by the right and the strength of His right arm. Do you see? Are you beginning to see? That's where we must live. The sermons must not be a side where we see a little bit. It must be the life that is just an encouragement where it clarifies. We should be children of the light. Which brings me to the second part. And what a part it is. You see, in the beginning I was thinking that the first part, believing that He is just the introduction to the second. That's not true. And yet, the second part is where it should become really practical. And so let me describe it this way. If the first principle was the foundation of the mountain, the second is its peak. For it rests upon the first principle, and yet it reaches so much higher. If you look at Hebrews 11, verse 6, you will read that a believer must, and I quote, he rewards, believe that he rewards those who seek him. That's a true translation. I think the original is even stronger. When we translate it very literally, it'd be something like this. To those who seek Him out, or seek Him diligently, He becomes the one who pays wages. The one who pays wages. Now, of course, when we put that in, if the ESV translators put that into our text, we're going to get a whole kind of works righteousness and say, God needs to pay me now, and all kinds of misunderstandings. But the word, literally, rewarder, is one who gives a reward for the work that is done. He is the one who gives great rewards if we seek Him. In other words, I must believe that He is a rewarder of those. And the word in Greek is out-seeking, seeking something out. And so some translations have a search diligently. It's only one word, but it's stronger than merely seeking. It's not something that's casual. You know, when you've lost something and you seek it out until you come to the bottom of it, that you really search, right? Not when you're searching for your kids' toys, and all you do is find an excuse and get another one and try to distract them with that one. But I'm talking searching for your wedding ring. You get with your nose in the dust until you found it. And you try to go back in your memory and search, search, search. Where did I put it? Where was I? That kind of searching. Enoch was a man who believed in earnestly seeking God, because he was convinced, he believed, that God would reward him with what he needed. And so he walked with God, constantly seeking God, and God constantly providing for him. Do you see? Walking with God is that kind of relationship, where you're constantly needy, So you're constantly seeking. God is always providential, and he always provides. Seeking God. We must be diligent seekers of God. Did you know that the more you seek God, the more you find him? Did you know that you have traveled 5 yards on a road that is miles long on this earth? I don't care who you are. There's so much more to find of God. There's so much more that can fill our hearts, which actually we need. But because we don't seek, we don't find. And so we feel impoverished. We feel weak. We feel in and out. We feel warm and hot and cold and lukewarm and all of that. The example here is Enoch. God tells us through his word that we can enter into the same life that Enoch walked with. Oh, that one day it'd be written on my tombstone, Paul, he walked with God. I don't care of any titles. I don't care of any achievements. But this, to walk with God. Now, there is a requirement here, isn't it? There's gradations, levels here. He is a rewarder, not of everyone. Now, of course, in salvation, he rewards all who believe in him. But here it's speaking about something different. Did you see that? He's talking about people in the faith. He is a rewarder of those who seek him. In other words, there are people among us who have had more rewards of God, have seen more of God, know him more, have had more answers to prayers than others. Not because they are not given so many because God likes them better, but because they seek more. They seek God more diligently, and they believe, and so they seek. The opportunity is equal to all, but the fullness of our experience of this promise depends on our seeking. Beloved, some of us are poor in grace, poor in answered prayer, poor in fellowship with God, because we have not sought God out. Do you know that God loves to be sought? He wants you to seek him out. I believe, and I dare go as far as to say this, God is telling you these verses tonight because he wants you to seek him out. He wants you to seek him more. This is an invitation. He wants you to seek him. He calls you and say, search me, and you will see that you will receive an abundance above what you can ask or imagine. There are heights, beloved, of God, so high that he needs to supernaturally strengthen you, otherwise you would not survive. I heard a pastor this week, a short clip, and he mentioned that God is the highest good. Het hoogste goed, the highest good. It's an old expression, and it basically means that there's many little treasures on the earth, but there's one that raises so far above them that it is called the highest good. God is the highest good, the highest, the best, the most wonderful you can ever find or you can ever experience. The greatest human experience that is worth more than all the money in the world is to be one step closer to God. Do you believe that? To see God more. Let us test our hearts and ask ourselves, do I truly believe that he will reward me if I seek him diligently? Do I live? It's more challenging, isn't it? Do I live like I believe that he rewards those who diligently seek him? Are you, my brother, my sister, a diligent seeker of God? Can your life be summarized by a seeker of God? Now, the greatest treasure of this verse is not the possible blessings that we might experience through him. The great blessing is not that he rewards and you'll have no more pain and no more suffering. Paul was a seeker of God, and that didn't work out. in that way, the greatest treasure is this. We will draw near to God and we will walk with Him. Oh, dearly beloved, I pray that 2023 will be a year for you and me in which we will walk nearer to God. A year in which we will see more of His glory. A year in which we will see countless answered prayers. A year in which we will be closer to our Savior Jesus Christ. A year of true communion with the Holy Spirit. A year that we will feel, perhaps, I can walk straight into heaven and be no more. I want to close with the conclusion of the man I mentioned earlier, Alexander White, on the life of Enoch. I think it's encouraging. He says this, "Begin then to walk all the rest of your life on earth with God. If you are not to remain and to be alive when Christ comes, even so your death, if it must be, will only be a circumstance in your walk with God. It will only be a new departure, the opening up of a new prospect, and your first entrance on that which God hath prepared for them that love Him. You will never really taste death. You will not know where you are. Is it past? You will ask in astonishment, am I really gone over Jordan?" You hear the echo of this idea. Now, of course, I don't think that a person will actually be, am I still on earth or am I in heaven? And yet, in a way, for those who walk with God, it is like that. Life on earth can be close to heaven, where the only thing, as he describes it, is a new departure, the opening up of a new prospect. Just another step. I pray that as you walk with God, whether this will be the last year of your life or whether you have many ahead, that it'll be like that. That your death and your dying, if Christ does not come first, would be just another step with God. That it's just a continuance of a journey closer to God. And so if I come back to my earlier question, what is a resolution that God desires? Can we not say it's this, that we walk by faith? That God wants us to walk by faith in believing that He is, and that He is the rewarder for you and for me and for anyone who diligently seeks Him. Amen. Let us pray. The Heavenly Father, praise and glory and honor be to your great name. Father, I rejoice in your word tonight. What a gift, what a joy that men can walk with God. Teach us, Lord, to live by faith, to walk by faith, to think by faith, until faith is no more required, because we will see face to face. Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.